word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. And that's how we fight our battles. Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great morning. Thank you. And just looking so forward to worshiping with you this morning and to get our worship on. If you will, let's stand and let's sing the song we've been doing for the past few weeks called Symphony. I hope it's one that kind of sticks in your head and rattles around in there and kind of brings you joy as the week goes on. It started out in Eden when he breathed in to the dust of the ground, creating the sound of a heartbeat like a drum beat to a song. It started out as a solo, then crescendoed to the ends of the earth. Everyone heard the music God is making in us all. Oh, and now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony. Hear it in the laughing of an orphan, the very first time he looks in the eyes of the family who's here to bring him home. Feel it in the silence, in the worship of the church underground. They're singing without a sound somehow. And now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony, this symphony. So sing with me of his majesty. Come on, just sing with me in this symphony. And now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part. Oh, come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony, this symphony, this symphony, this symphony.
We continue this morning with Say Yes. I want to talk about being in the presence of worship with each other, being in the presence of our God, being just present. Let's sing together.
I'd like to have a plan. I'd like to sort it out. Say between the lines to blend in a crowd. I'd like to play it safe. I'd like to keep control. But I hear you call my name, and I'm tired of saying no. I've been afraid, but I'm ready for change. I'm gonna put one foot in front of the other. I don't need to know where you're leading next, 'cause you are in control no matter what's coming. I won't second guess, God. Whatever you ask, I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I may not see the way, but I still know the truth, that fear is just a lie that men can tear right through. Though it's time to doubt my doubts, it's time to lose control. Oh God, I'm ready now, just call me and I'll go. I'm gonna put one foot in front of the other. I don't need to know where you're leading next, 'cause you are in control no matter what's coming. I won't second guess, God. Whatever you ask, I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'm gonna keep on walking, no matter what the cost is. I'm gonna take a breath and I'm gonna say yes, yes. I'm gonna keep on walking, no is not an option. I'm gonna take a breath and I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna put one foot in front of the other.
I don't need to know where you're leading next, 'cause you are in control no matter what's coming. I won't second guess, God, whatever you ask, I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'm learning to say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Just call me and I'll go, I'll go. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I love that song, amen. What a great opportunity for us to remember that we just need to keep on saying yes and keep walking no matter what is in our way, because we have a God that has our back at all times. So now we take an opportunity to get prepared for our worship this morning.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Amen. You may be seated.
Hey, isn't this a great day to be in the neighborhood? I'm Pastor Tom Carver. Glad you're here. We're having some fun the second week of our sermon series, Following Jesus with Mr. Rogers. And so we talked about prayers last week, and today we're talking about presence as to fulfill our ways in which we can grow to be more like Jesus. So at that, part of being present is being present in the presence of God, but also with each other. So I'd like to invite you to turn and go ahead and stand and greet the people around you, welcome them, share signs of God's love and peace.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I'm glad to share with you this morning some ways that you can get connected here at Asbury and get plugged in. So we got a few slides coming up on the screen. Yep. So on Monday, November 11th, we're having a vision casting event. Those of you who are familiar with the United Methodist system know that every year we have a charge conference where the district superintendent comes in and we do some business of a charge conference where we set our budget for the year, we approve our leadership for the year, we set the pastoral salary and package and things like that. That will happen at this event, but really the main point is that we are trying to look at what God's vision is for the future here at Asbury. And so those of you who might say, I don't go to charge conference, I've never been to charge conference, that does not interest me, I really hope that this year that you will prayerfully consider coming to this vision casting event. Pastor Tom has been with us for almost a year and a half. He's been praying and thinking about what does God want for Asbury, and he's prepared to share some of that with us. You can share your own feedback and how you feel and where you think God is calling us and be part of that process. There will be childcare provided throughout the event. So that's how important it is for us that all families are able to come, all individuals, regardless of things like childcare. Next slide. I wanted to lift up that the Stewards of Creation, a new group here at Asbury, has been doing work to make us more green. If you look at the very bottom of your Did You Know section, you'll see that they have a challenge for us. Last month, we had a challenge in October. November's challenge is to reduce food waste. And so there's a couple suggestions on how you can do that. And really notice, what food are you throwing away, and how can you reduce that amount? Another initiative that they're bringing is connecting with TerraCycle, which is a group that does recycling across the river. And so we're going to have a drop-off point that for a couple items that can then be taken over to Illinois to a church there that does recycling. So it's easier for us, and maybe you're going to say, oh, I can really be part of this recycling process. Those two items are plastic cereal bag liners and chip snack bags. So next time that you finish one of those and you think about throwing it out, think about putting it in a bag, bring it here to Asbury, and that drop-off is going to be right out through this door in that coat closet area right behind the elevator on this main level. There's a couple bins. It's by our Mission Drop-Off Center, and one of those bins is where you can drop those items off. The final thing that I wanted to lift up this morning is a free live stream event for Financial Peace University. Anybody familiar with Financial Peace? Dave Ramsey? I see a handful of hands. So we're doing a free live stream on Wednesday, November 2nd at 5:45 here at the church. I hope that if you have done Dave Ramsey before, you know somebody that's in need of help for how they can get their finances in order. It's a real need for a lot of people. So you can tell them to sign up for this free event. And then we will be having a class in January. So if you know somebody who might be interested, but they're like, class, paying money, bring them in for this and see if this connects with them. And then they can take the next step into taking the class. So kind of an entryway. And that's on a Wednesday night. So come get a meal and tune into that live stream. You can sign up on our Asbury website. At the very bottom of the page, there is a button that you can click to sign up. I'm going to ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pads so you can register your attendance with us. It helps us to know who's here and how we can best serve this congregation. And one of the things that we do when we gather together is not just share other things that we can do together. We pray together. And we talked last week about prayer being a relationship. And so it's important to pray for one another. So if you have a prayer request or a celebration you'd like to... I went into the next thing too quickly. I'm going to sit down. You think about that praying piece.
What I want to share with you is that to take a moment now, we're getting ready as a church for our annual stewardship campaign, where we invite people to consider how they financially support the ministry of the church. And so in preparation for that, we've had sometimes some members of the church have had a chance to kind of give a testimony, their witness of what God has done for them through the church, and how they are growing in their desire to support what we're doing together. And so this week, Rick and Diane Ulrich have been willing to share their word about what God is doing through the Asbury Church. And so we'll take a moment to watch this together.
Greatest attachment to Asbury as a result of our son's wedding, actually.
Our kids were members first and enjoyed the family atmosphere and the friendliness and decided to be married here. And from there, that's where we came in. And they said, why don't you join us? And we did. It was great.
We found a group of people that were friendly, helpful, and we're very diverse, and I found a lot of attraction to that issue. Just the nature and character, it just appeared to me that Asbury was a very inclusive group of people. Of all the different churches that we've belonged to in our lifetime, the sense of family and togetherness, I think, rings the truest here at the Asbury family. But, you know, they'll put their arms around you, and they're generally concerned about the issues of your life and what's happening. They really want to know what happened to you in your week. It's just, you know, Sunday morning, catching up with each other, what happened, is truly a gifted experience.
And I believe that God sent His only Son to us. And we should give back to what God has given us.
Giving was kind of a very quiet thing for my father and my mother. And frankly, my time on the finance committee here at Asbury is the one that really got me to understand the true depths and deepness of the different missions that are being held here at Asbury and how important the financial support is. You know, there's more than just emotional support. There's more than just attendance. It really taught me the ability and the need to be more generous with our financial support, understanding that, you know, the finances are what keep this thing moving forward. When Pastor Tom came to the church, he had a small group meet and greet, which I found incredibly powerful. I got to know some additional people, how they viewed their relationship to the church. And then we had another small group earlier this year. And that small group really led me to re-examine my thought processes as it relates to the giving question that, you know, that you asked. Certainly it made me think on a more specific identified issue of the different missions that are happening here at the church and how important it is to look at each one of those missions and the importance. And it just takes money. It just takes money. And that's sometimes the hard part, to join that together when you're looking at the spiritual mission of the church. But there's a financial mission that goes hand in hand.
So you see, our theme is the whole focusing on how Jesus is the bridge that connects us to God, connects us to the other people around us. And but part of what we're trying to do as a congregation is continue the work of Jesus here in the Quad Cities. So later this week, you'll receive a mailing with more information about the financial goals for the church, our ministry funding plan, and also opportunities, ways that you can consider planning on how looking ahead to 2020, estimates of giving and stuff that we can all be a part of, making our witness that Jesus is the bridge, a powerful one here in the Quad Cities. Okay, now we join in our prayers.
All right, prayers. Anybody got any? Okay. I'll ask our ushers or our musicians to come forward with microphones. It's really important to be in prayer for one another. I think a step on our discipleship is praying for people that we don't know or praying for the wider world and to be aware of other struggles and celebrations. So, Miles, why don't you kick us off?
I would just like to say that my dad turned 40 last week.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
We don't want to forget Rebecca. She turned younger than that a few days earlier.
Good choice of words.
Hi, Stacy and Mark Christofferson. And as the joys with fall come, we have a joy for Trevor Christofferson. Stand up, Trevor. He plays in the band. He got accepted to his first college of choice, which was Lewis University. It's kind of a smaller school outside Chicago in Romeoville, and it specializes in airline industry, and he's trying to be an air traffic controller in the future. So.
Wonderful. God's congratulations.
Hi, I'm Cindy Bruin, and I want to share a joy and ask for prayers for our Wednesday night meal scheduling, so I guess you're helping me out too. I am the one that schedules the meal. We do have an opening on December 4th, but we also have a lot of openings coming up in 2020. So if that is something you can help with, we greatly appreciate it. I also wanted to share a huge joy that we served about 107 people at our Harvest Fall Fest, or whatever we were calling it, and everyone enjoyed the meal. I had one very young little boy tell me that we really outdid ourselves, so I love that when the kids give us compliments, and it makes it all worthwhile, of course, and seeing everyone have fun together, and I know the kids had fun downstairs, so it's just very exciting to see the families coming together and the kids having fun, and of course we want to continue that as we go into the new year.
It was truly a joy to see families from the community, families I didn't recognize here on Wednesday night. So that was wonderful, and it was very crowded and chaotic downstairs, which is just the way you want it for a kid's Halloween party. Any other joys or concerns to lift up?
Good morning. Good morning, all you Raspberryites. One of the choir directors used to call us Raspberryites. But we hope there's not too many thorns in the bushes. But anyway, our daughter-in-law's parents are having a lot of health problems up in Charles City, Iowa, and we would ask for prayers that they can get along okay. They're both up in their 80s, and they've got help coming in now, but Kay is Joe's daughter, wife, I should say, up there in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and she's a very good caregiver. She also does work as a dental hygienist over there, and she actually taught Joe how to do dental hygiene when they were in Iowa. It took Joe 9 years to become a dentist, and now he's been a dentist there for 28 years now, is it? Well, thanks for all your prayers for all our family, and God bless you, Raspberryites.
Any others? All right, at this time, we're going to come before God in silent prayer. I know that we all have things that we brought with us this week that we celebrated or that were frustrating. Let's offer those to the Lord. I'll offer a prayer, and then later on in worship, when we come to the Lord's table, we'll share the Lord's prayer then. Almighty and wonderful God, we thank you for the gift of this time and this place that we might come before your throne, when we might be open to feeling your presence with us here at this time, and therefore be open to feeling your presence throughout the week. We've all brought with us struggles and frustrations and sorrows, as well as joys and celebrations. Some of us loved seeing the snow fall earlier this week. Some of us, not so much. But we thank you for the gift of fall, for the end of the year, for the reminder of what it means to let things go, to hibernate, and to care for ourselves and prepare for winter. Lord God, we lift up to you those that we know, those that we love, those that we don't even know who are struggling. Those in the midst of transition, those that are dealing with diseases of the heart and the mind and the body. Those preparing for death and those mourning a loss. We offer all these things to you, knowing that you care for us and bless us in the midst of our struggles, asking for healing for ourselves and others, and asking for the ability to feel your presence with us through it all. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. You may remember that Exodus is the story of the Hebrew people who were exiting Egypt, going towards the promised land that God had promised, or that God had promised them, that makes sense. Going towards the land that God had promised them, and it wasn't as easy as going from one place to another. It was a lot of time of wandering and searching and trusting in God. And so while they were wandering in the wilderness with their leader Moses, they were in tents, they were camping, and one way that they knew where they were to go next was a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night that would guide them. And so we're going to look here at Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand, each of them, at the entrance of their tents and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and bow down, all of them, at the entrance of their tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
As we prepare for our message this morning, as we continue to prepare ourselves for the worship, let's sing together. Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence,
Holy One, we
we feel your presence with us this morning in this space. We feel your presence in other areas of our lives when we spend time with you in prayer and when we serve others and love them as you do. We thank you that you are present with us at all times. We also thank you for the gift of Christian community, for loving relationships, and those who embody your presence when we find it hard to feel you with us. Remind us that when we are lost, when we are unsure, that we can seek out others to guide us, challenge us, and love us as you do. Thank you for our church family to be present with us. Amen.
Present with God, God being present with us. We heard the passage out of Exodus where in the Old Testament, one of the ways in which they thought to be present with God was in that tabernacle, that traveling tent. And that was the place where they would make offerings, sacrifices, and God was present with them visibly, they could tell, because of that tent, that tabernacle that was traveling. Many years later, when the Israelites became a nation and David took that tabernacle to Jerusalem and established Jerusalem as kind of the central city, and then his son Solomon built a temple. And it was changing the tent, the traveling tent, to a solid structure of building, the temple. Similar characteristics in terms of a holy designated area, and then like inside that even a holier place where God's very presence was thought to dwell. Now, nobody could go in there because it was God in there. And so only once a year, the high priest could enter that Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people on the Day of Atonement. Well, now I want to read a passage out of Hebrews that lifts up some of that imagery from the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. And here now, after Jesus, the author is saying, now we can go into that temple, that presence of the living God, and it's not a tent, it's not a building, but it's still the very presence of the living God. And what would previously had separated the Holy of Holies from that from where people were was a curtain, and now the author is saying, now that curtain, which was Jesus in the flesh, has enabled us to pass through to be in God's presence. And so this is Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read verses 19 through 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more, as you see the day approaching. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. So as I mentioned, we're in the second week of a five-part sermon series about following Jesus with Mr. Rogers. As you might remember, we have hired a coach to help us get healthier as a church. We've established a strategy team, and we've identified a couple ways in which we could really concentrate on improving as a church. It'll help the overall health of the church. One of those ways is identifying a clear path to growing as disciples, a discipleship pathway plan. And so that's part of this sermon series about growing in our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and witness. Those are the elements of the membership vows that people take when they join the church. And the second area of focus that we've said that if we can really focus on as a church to help the overall health of mission is the ministry with children. And so we've made some great connections with the principal and counselors at Neil Armstrong and Mark Twain. And there'll be ways that we as a congregation can support the children in our community through those two schools, being a lunch buddy or being something the buddy who can just read with the students. We've started collecting some hygiene items that could be sent home for people who need them. So this sermon series was a way to kind of combine the two. Thinking about how we grow as disciples, but also think about our ministry with children, and what better example of a ministry with children than Mr. Rogers. At the same time, an example of a mature Christian that, somebody that we could follow his example about how it is to follow Jesus in this world and have a positive impact on the world. So last week we talked about prayers with Mr. Rogers. Today we're talking about presence with Mr. Rogers. And I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here with us now. And we pray that as we open the word to your influence, that your spirit would guide us on how we might learn to be present not only with you, but with the people around us. We ask for your spirit to guide us now as we look for your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, part of the strategy that Mr. Rogers used as we've kind of acted out is that every program, every show always started the same. There was a time and a place where Mr. Rogers would appear, come through the door, sing his song, do the sweater and the shoes and such. And the strategy behind that was that children would know what to expect. There was some safety in that routine. And that knowing at this time and this place, that was a safe place to hear from Mr. Rogers and what he might want to teach them that day. Now, I want to show you an example, a video clip here, which it shows how Mr. Rogers over, decades, did the same thing every week. Now, notice how the song is the same, the routine is the same, but notice how he changes over that time. Let's watch this together.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Would you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
You see, there's something powerful about that routine. And doing it the same all those years. You saw how he aged and he changed. And yet there was something comforting that children who would have known that to know they knew what to expect. At that time and at that place, Mr. Rogers would be there to teach some lessons about life and about feelings and so on. And it was a powerful way to learn about how to be present with someone else. Now, as we look at the scriptures then, in that Old Testament passage, how to be present with God. And I want to suggest the three elements that are required in a relationship and that are required to be present. And those elements are time and a place and then something to do. In other words, to be really present with someone, we're talking about presence. So first of all, you've got to be at the same place at the same time. In the Old Testament, a way of thinking again, Moses and the people of Israel, they knew God was with them, but they felt God's presence was in that tabernacle, in that tent. I want to give you an illustration of what it might have looked like. Again, this is the Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness, the desert. And the way that they set this tent up, there was like a curtains around the outside. It's all portable. There was a place to offer sacrifices. And then the inner tent was like a holier place. And then within that was an even holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. It just felt like, you know, that was so holy, nobody could go in there. But in Exodus, it said Moses would go in, and when Moses would do that, it felt like God's presence was there. And the book of Exodus describes that Moses would be at that time, at that place, and the conversation he'd have with God, it felt like it was like talking to a friend face to face. And so for, you know, thousands of years, this is how the people of Israel kind of felt their presence with God, was through that space in that tabernacle. And then, as I mentioned, about 1,000 years before Jesus, David moved the tabernacle to Jerusalem and made it into a temple. His son built the temple there in Jerusalem. So the same basic concept, the same design, but instead of a tent, it became a building. And the whole idea of a presence was you're at the same time, you know, place you're there and God is there, and you're at the same place, which would be the temple or the tabernacle, and what you would do there is either offer sacrifices or pray as Moses did. Now, we know that Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem, and he would worship there and he would pray there, he would connect with God, but we also know that Jesus would go into the wilderness by himself, or up on a mountain and be present with God there and pray to his Father. Last week when we talked about prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, you need to go to your room, close the door, and in silence, on your own, pray to God, and God will hear you. And God will know already what you need. Now, do you see where those elements are present? Are there. There's no more time. You've got to be at a time with God. You know, the idea is that God is everywhere, but the question is, are we aware that God is here? So part of what Jesus was saying was that you've got to get rid of all the other distractions so that you can concentrate on having a conversation with God, a time, a place, and then what you do, the conversation, prayer, is a discussion back and forth. And, you know, offer to God what we're feeling, what we're thinking, hearing from God, what God might have for us. Now, that's not only how we develop our relationship with God, being present with God, being aware of God's presence, being in the same time, at the same place, and doing something together, but isn't that also how we develop our relationships with each other? Being at the same time with someone, at the same place, and you do something together. Sometimes it's a conversation where you're sharing ideas and then you listen. You have to both speak and listen. And some of the best conversations, the deepest ones, are when you're able to talk about what's inside, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing in life. I mean, in many ways, that reflects our relationship with God. When somebody knows everything about us, even what we're feeling on the inside, we're able to share that. And they still like us. They still care for us. I mean, that's a relationship like that in the flesh with other people, in many ways, I think, is a taste of heaven. That it reflects our relationship with God. And it's one way in which God's will, I believe, is done on earth as it is in heaven. When our human relationships reflect God's relationship with us in Jesus. So think about that. Now, again, the relationships you have with other people, for them to be significant, you've got to at some point be at the same place at the same time. You have to be together. And then to do something together. You know, we are in an interesting time, though, where it's potential to have conversations with folks and not be in the same place. You know, my daughters are, one's in Southeast Asia. We talk every week, and it's on the phone, and we're not in the same place, but yet we're able to share a conversation back and forth, develop a relationship. But I'll tell you, there's just nothing like actually seeing her in the flesh and my daughters and hugging them and holding them that is most powerful. To truly be present with someone is being together. And at the same time, in the same place, and you're doing something together. You know, you can be in the same time and same place with someone and not do anything together. You know, not share a conversation. People can share the same household and still not share a conversation or work together. But the objective is how we, in our relationships with our families, can truly be present with the people the way God is present with us, and how we can do that in the church and model that in our communities, our neighborhoods. So the writer to the Hebrews was saying, you know, he was encouraging people, it's kind of like the way it is with God, where no longer do we have to go to a time or a place or the place that is the temple. Because in the flesh, Jesus has opened up so that we know that God is with us wherever we go. The question is, will we be aware of it? He also encouraged people, don't neglect to meet together, which is the habit of some. But acknowledge the importance of how we gather together in developing our human relationships that reflect God's relationship with us. So the challenge then is to think intentionally about time and place and something that we do together. So years ago at a former church, I talked about how, you know, a place like this is a great place to pray. And the things here remind us of God's presence. And so many people think, you know, this is like a holy place, which it's a special place, but it's not that God is here any more than God is anywhere else. The surroundings help us to concentrate and think about God's presence with us. The reality is you can pray at home just as much as you could pray here. You can be present with God at a time and a place and doing something together like conversing back and forth, reading your scriptures and praying. You can do that at home. But I'd like to invite, so I gave this sermon about how at home, every home ought to have a prayer chair. In other words, in your normal routine, just like Mr. Rogers did the same thing every time, you've got a place where you sit or be and read the Bible and pray. That's your time, and that's the place that you have that conversation with God. And so where we were living at the time, I had a special chair where I would sit. I had my Bible by the side. That's where I would read. That's where I would connect with God and develop that relationship. A few weeks later, a fellow in the church brought me this. I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a prayer chair." He'd made it, but it's got three legs for the Trinity, and there's a circle bench for, you know, the eternity of God, and the cross on the background. Says, "Well, that's pretty good." So I have this in our house, and there are other places that are a prayer chair, a place that you gather at a regular time to have a conversation with God. Now, again, it's not only just in the home, but there can be many places where, you know, you're aware in your own mind, that's my prayer chair. That's the place where I go spend some time and do something, talk with God. A prayer is a conversation. I found another one that not too long ago that dropping off or coming to work down Jersey Ridge, if you know Eastern or Jersey Ridge Road, it goes down into the East Village of Davenport. And come to the river, but I saw this bench. And I went to see this bench, and maybe you've seen this bench up on the hillside. And I found what a great place. I've stopped there many times just to sit and overlook the view, the river, and Davenport in the distance, and can see the bridges from Bettendorf the other way. But it's a great time and a place to have a conversation with God, to be present with God in that time and place. So here's my assignment for you, is to think for yourself about a prayer chair, one in your house, but one that could be anywhere else, but there's a specific place that you know you want to can spend some time with God and do something, pray together, have a conversation, and that way truly be present with God. And, you know, I think Jesus was aware of that, and so he taught people how to pray and have that rhythm of being with people and then being alone by yourself. And he would say, at some points, he'd set the example of going off to pray all by yourself. But at other times, he'd be with people and involved in serving them. And he would say, if you've done it to one of these, I'm there. I'm with you. I'm present with you whenever you've done it to me, when you've done it to the least of these, my brothers. If you're the gathered in my name, two or more, I'm there, I'm with you, I'm present in the midst of that relationship. And again, you know, we're in an interesting time when we can have conversations. In a sense, we can be with people and they're on the other side of the world. But I think Jesus had something in mind when he gathered his disciples together around a table and gave them and gave us instructions. Says, here's what I want you to do. You have to be a specific place, come to this table, at a time when you're all together, and then here's what you should do. Take this bread, let it remind you of my body, and this cup, this wine, we use juice, let it remind you of the blood that I would shed for you. And when you do that, I'm there with you as you are there present with each other. So our assignment and what we're going to experience once again is the very presence of God. One of the commitments that we make as being a part of the church is that we'll be present not only with God, but with each other. And not neglect to care for each other in that way. Because I think, you know, as Jesus taught us about prayer and our presence with God, it is never about only you and God. It is always about you and God and other people. And sharing in this sacrament of communion is one of the ways that we can experience God's presence once again in this time, in this place, through what we're going to do right now. So the United Methodist Church has an open communion table. That means all are invited to share in this sacrament. We're going to use the method of intinction. It means that we'll break off a piece of the bread, we'll give it to you, and you can dip it in the juice, go ahead and eat it. You can pray here at the front of the church as long as you wish, and then you can return to your seats by the outside aisles. There's also the offering plates will be at the head of each aisle that you can bring your offering and place it there as you when you come for to receive the sacrament. And if you need a gluten-free elements, we do have gluten-free wafers and juice here at the center. Just indicate that, and we'll be able to serve you in that way. So with that, let us now prepare to receive this sacrament of Holy Communion. In this time, in this place, doing this together with the presence of God and with one another. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
It is right to give our thanks to God, for it is a beautiful day in this neighborhood. We can feel your presence with us in this space. We are blessed by this time of worship when we might be comforted by the familiar reassurances of your love for us.
Help us, in turn, to provide support and reassurance for others, to be the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, in their lives. Help us to grow in his image by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that Christ may be glorified. On the night in which he died, Jesus was with his friends in an upper room. And while they were gathered together, he took bread. He gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And after the meal, in the same way, Jesus took a cup of wine, gave thanks to the Father, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Today we remember again Jesus, and we promise to follow him and to grow to be more like Christ. It is not an easy task. We have one another as a church and as neighbors to help each other out and to work as a team. We can together proclaim the good news that Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Holy Spirit, come upon these gifts of bread and wine, and come upon us that we may be united in mission and in love. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us join together in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All has been prepared. You're invited to come and share. Those who are assisting with communion are invited to come first. I think the praise team, if you'll come, they'll be singing a song that talks about the very presence of God with us so that we are never alone. You're invited to share now in the sacrament of Holy Communion.
That you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, breaking through. The darkest night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own.
as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You're my strength, you're my defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave.
Friends, the great news is that we are not alone because God is present with us. When we nurture that relationship, being in the same time and place and doing something with God, a conversation, a prayer, or sharing in the sacrament of communion, it prepares us truly to be present with the people around us and share in a relationship that reflects God's love for us. And when we do that, that is the best thing ever. So your assignment this week is to find a prayer chair in your home, in the community, there that you can spend time with God and find the strength to enable you to be present with the people that God will send to you. Will you please stand for the benediction? Now as you go forth, may you receive the power of God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, to enable you to love the people that God sends to you. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.
Lord, it's you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. You have saved me, Lord. I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I'll follow after you. Every day, I'll walk with you, my Lord. I'll walk with you, my Lord. I'll walk with you, my Lord.
Have an awesome week, everyone. We'll see you next week.